reminded me, so that worked. And now the battery cover's fallen off. So let's see. All right, there we go. All right, so there's a bunch of things, but I think what we're going to look at is these down here that say math basic. It's under loop. And some of these examples I'm, you know, skipping over because they're fairly straightforward, and some of them we'll come back to. But math basic is actually kind of a good one because we looked at the math facts. Actually, let me go back and look at the math facts. I think. Didn't we have a math facts one, a simple one? Yeah. Math facts up here in the do loop. So if I had the while, and I want the nested while, this was the math facts program. Okay, so this went through, and it simply wrote out the math facts. That's all I was doing. I was varying count, and I was varying count in, and I was writing out the math facts. So count was used in the outer loop, and count in was used in the inner loop. So count started out at 1, and count in started out at 1. And in the inner loop, count in went 1, 2, 3. And it says, do while count in is less than or equal to 3. So when it was done, it dropped out, added 1 to count, and looped back up, dropped in and reset count in to 1, so you see the 2 plus 1. Okay, it added 1 to count and reset the count in back to 1, so I see 2 plus 1. Okay, so this shows the math facts, but now what I want to do is I want to go in and write the code to have people test, basically, on the math facts. So I'm doing the math basic. So I'm putting out 1 plus 1, and I'm saying, what is your answer? And I'm entering 2 and saying, okay. And then I'm entering 3 and saying, okay. And then I'm entering 1, and it's coming out and saying, no. And then I'm entering 4, and it's coming out and saying no. Okay? So, basically, I can go through these. Okay, so this one is going to be 4, and then 5, and then 6. Nope, I forgot I started over again. 3, 4, whatever. I've lost track of what I've got. So, what I've got here, and I actually did it with a for loop, is I've got the for loop, and I've said the same thing I said. I looked at the while loop. I thought I remembered this was while, but it's the for loop. So, I have I is my outer number, and J is my inner number. So, I'm saying I want I to go from 1 to 3. Because I wrote 4, I equal 1, and then I said, do it while I is less than or equal to 3, and each pass-through add 1 to I. Inside, I have the inner loop, which is J, and so J is impacting the second number. And remember, it does the entire inner loop, and then it backs out to the outer loop as it goes along. So I said, all right, now answer is equal I plus J. So the first time through, I've got, let's see, I.
Whoa. You won't wear the black one again.
No, I picked up the red.
Oh, you picked up red now? It's really confusing.
That's right.
I think it needs a driver update or something.
Yeah, no, we're Why did I save that? I have no idea. Okay, closing, Clea. All right, we're back. View source. Bigger. All right. One more bigger. Okay. So, let me try one more time. Maybe green. I.
No.
No. Then I hadn't pressed my magic thing. This on the next five slides, but that's all right. We got it at least working here. So the for loop says I starts out at one, and it says J starts out at one. Okay? And then it says answer equals I plus J, so it's two. So then it says document write I plus J plus equal sign. Okay, so it's writing the I plus the plus sign plus the J plus the equal sign. And again, that last slash there is not necessary. That's an XHTML slash. Okay, so I'm writing out 1 plus 1 equals. And then I put out a prompt and I said, what is your answer? Okay, and they type in an answer. So their answer is being stored in user input. Okay, and it would have probably been better to not have bear, but have a bear up there that said bear user answer, as opposed to having the bear there and having it redefine all the time. It doesn't hurt the execution, it just is not terribly effective. The other thing that I can take out of these means if JavaScript is not activated, don't show it, basically. Turn it into a comment. So if JavaScript is not activated, turn it into a comment. Nowadays, and I wrote this a long while ago, nowadays, if JavaScript is not activated, it's a choice thing. All browsers activate JavaScript. So if you have do not, if the user doesn't have JavaScript activated, it's because they overtly turned it off. Okay, so essentially we don't worry about it. If they're going to be like that, so what? If they see the JavaScript. Or at least that's my attitude. Okay, so now we're saying turn it off. So now we've got the user input coming in. So we want to know, did they get it right? So we're saying, okay, if answer is equal to user input, then we're doing a document write, and we're saying, yes, you got it. Else, we're doing a document write and saying, no, you didn't get it. Okay? Now, at that point, we are going to loop back up, and we're going to, I'm sorry, I went too high. We are going to loop back up. And J is going to be incremented by 1. Okay, and so we write out 1 plus 2. We check to see if they got it right. We respond. We loop back up. It's now going to be J is a 3. And so we write out 1 plus 3, we take in their response, and then we loop back up, and it's now a 4, and at this point we're going to stop, because J is no longer less than or equal to 3. Okay, so we're stopping. So at that point, we will move on and go back to the outer loop. And the outer loop resets, adds 1 here, and resets J. Adds 1 to I, resets J. What happens is, if you hit a loop on a drop-down, it resets. So if you hit it on a drop down, it resets. If you are just looping up from the bottom back to try it again, it doesn't reset, it increments. But if you hit it on a drop down, it resets. So J got reset to 1. And then I go through and J becomes a 2, 3, 4. I'm done with it, so I add 1 to I. J becomes a 1 again. And I go through this. When I is no longer in the right range, then I'm done and I drop out. Okay, now the problem with this one is that I had to answer everything or else just X out of the thing. Okay, but I can't get out. I can't decide I'm done. So if I run this again and I put in 2, 3, 4 and then 3 and I decide I'd like to get out, and I hit cancel, it just puts in no, the answer is, and it just keeps going. In other words, the cancel isn't working. So, there are a couple of workarounds for that. And one of them is here, where I said 2, and then I said 3, and then I said cancel. And so now I'm out. Okay.
I do have a question. Since Internet Explorer does not like pop-ups, right?
Right.
Why? You know how it says, "What is your answer?" Why not have it so that in Internet Explorer it actually shows the mathematics with what is your answer, so that if you do end up opening it in Internet Explorer, you get the whole thing. You get the question of 1 plus 1 or 1 plus 2 or whatever. Is there a way to do that so it doesn't say just what is your answer?
Of course.
Then that way we can have it always show up on Internet Explorer and this.
Yep.
It won't be grayed out in the background.
Right. And I'm going to now make a suggestion. Okay. If you keep elaborating on these things as opposed to sticking with the basics, that's one of your problems.
Right, but
I mean, it really is. For now, don't be creative. You know, and I wouldn't say this if you didn't tell me that you found this overwhelming.
Right.
But when you start saying, well, how could I, and it's wonderful to say that, but how can I works a lot better when you understand the basics and then you can elaborate on it. But in all seriousness,
right,
I'd try to stick to understanding what I'm presenting. And he can ask those questions because he kind of understands it, okay? And you can ask him anyway, too, but I'm just saying I think that's honestly getting in your way of your understanding the basics.
Okay.
You know, that's just my theory. Okay, so I want to, in this one, check to see if the user input is null. Because if the user presses cancel, the input is null. So I'm doing a check here, and I'm saying, if the user input is not equal to null, then I continue on.
Null
a
hot word?
Yeah. So if the user input is not equal to null, so this program tests for null. The break exits out of the closest loop. Okay, now the problem is I'm two loops in. When it shows the problem, I'm two loops in. I'm four loops in. So I said, okay, did they hit a cancel? Which means I'd like to get out of here. They're not giving me an input. So if they hit a cancel, I come down here and I break. And break breaks me out of the inner loop. But I'm still in the outer loop. So So how can I break out of the outer loop? Well, if I set I equal to 4, then the outer loop is going to be all done when I loop back. So I'm setting I equal to 4, which means that when I loop back, it says, oh, I is all done, we're out of here. And I did a break out of the inner loop.
That's true.
Pretty sneaky. Okay. So if the user input is not equal to null, I continue on my way. But if it is, I come down here and say, okay, I know how to get out of this loop, break. Break will get me out of this loop. How can I get out of the other loop? Well, I will set I equal to 4, which will max out the other loop, and I'm out of here.
Okay. I used to hate for loops.
Hasn't that been a rather recent? Okay.
Well, I remember last semester we never really used for loops. And now I see it all the time.
Okay. So now I'm going to capture that. I think this thing is really, really acting up today. Yeah, that captured it. Okay, it's captured. So that gets me out. Okay, now another way of getting out of this is the next one. And this one does the same thing. And then I hit cancel, and I'm out. And on this one, I set a flag. I like the other one better, frankly. But this one is more general in that I set a flag equal to Y, and I broke out. Then before I go back to the outer loop, I check and see if the flag is Y, then I break out of that one. Okay, so I set the flag equal to Y, and I break out of the inner loop. And then I drop down, and I'm going to go back to the outer loop. And I said, okay, if the flag is a Y, then break out of the outer loop too. So that's more general in lots of ways.
The whole thing's in one div.
Yeah, why not?
Is there a reason for it?
No, it just doesn't do much, really.
No, it's already in the body.
I mean, it's in the body. I didn't have to put it in a div. I'm not real clear why I put it in a div. I just did.
Duplicating it.
That's right, probably. There's no rhyme or reason to have it in a div because I don't have any style.
Right.
Well, I aligned it to the left. So I did use the div to align it
to the left. So you just wanted it to go to the left?
Apparently.
But isn't that already the default?
It's already the default. Yeah. So why did I do that? Oh, I think actually I used to have it aligned to the center. I think that's why I did it. And then I didn't like it aligned to the center because how do I bring up my code?
Right.
Okay, because my code was on top of it when it was aligned to the center. And I think I had it originally, so it was aligned to the center and going down. So instead of just getting rid of the whole thing, I said, make it aligned to the left. And now it's aligned to the left, and I can show my code. I think I actually remember the history of that. And while I was at it, I should have taken the slashes out of the BR. But anyway, there we have it. Okay, so now, as I said, I had one instance in my family where I needed to change this so that you didn't leave a problem until you got it right. Okay? And if your mother had written it for you, Tom, she probably would have had to do the same thing. So you can't leave the problem until you get it right. Okay, so where would I put that and how would I do it? Well, I already have a compare statement. I'm already saying if answer equals user input, but I may need another one, yes. So where in this program am I going to put it?
Where the else is?
Yes. Inside that else is where I'm going to, instead of saying just document right no, I'm going to say document right no, but then what do I want to do?
That's where I am. Maybe no try again and send it back.
Could you put if answer is not equal user input?
What would that get me? I still need both.
Yeah.
So somehow you got to tell the person that is incorrect and then send them back to that.
Don't think I want to send them back, because back is going to increase. I don't want to send them back. I want to stay here until they get it right.
No try again.
Could you use another prompt? Could you put another prompt?
Yeah, I definitely want another prompt.
Yeah, so
because if they're trying again, I want another prompt,
so
right?
Just put a prompt, what is your answer, and then make it like a different variable.
Okay, so I'm going to say prompt. And I don't really need to make it a different variable. I can just take it in as answer again.
Okay.
And that will work. But I've got to put out a prompt. And then what?
Needs to loop back
up. No, it doesn't.
Oh, no. It needs to loop back.
I actually want to have a loop here.
Yeah.
Where I just sit there spinning until they get it right.
That's what you're trying to figure out how to do.
Right below what is the answer. Needs to go right there. Instead of going back up to the fours.
Now, as I said, I want to sit here and spin. I want to sit right in here and spin. And I don't want to get out of there until they get the right answer.
Right.
So I want to spin around and I'll put it up as many times as I need to, but hold them there until they get the right answer. Okay, take a few minutes and try writing this. Try thinking about how you could put that in there. You're going to have a loop. As I recall, when I did it, I used a while loop. So I put a while loop in there. This would not lend itself to a for loop. So I put a while loop in there. You could also have put a do while loop. What would your condition be on a while loop? What might the condition be to make life easier? What do you want to keep? What do you want to stay in the loop, and what do you want to get out of the loop? What condition will keep you in the loop, and what condition will get you out of the loop?
I would just put while answer equals user input, right?
While answer is not equal, maybe.
So that would drop out.
No, right, while, and then what you're looking for is answer not equal to user input, right? If it's not equal to user input, I want to keep going through the loop.
Oh, there's a loop back while.
So keep doing this while answer is not equal to user input. Okay, because that's what wants to keep you in, is it's not equal. What it wants to get you out is that they now become equal. So I want to stay in the loop while answer is not equal to user input.
I did.
Huh?
I sort of did. Alright.
Okay, because what, if you think about it, what is going to keep you in and what is going to get you out? I want to stay in as long as they keep getting it wrong, right? So I want to stay in while the answer is not equal to answer input. And I want to get out when they get it right. So that's what I want to do when I get it right. Did you say you think you have it?
I have, but I got the puppet to be where they put the right answer in. So instead of else, you put while?
I want to loop there. Because I've got to spin through until I get it right.
I'm just trying to figure it out. I just know.
I want to have them, if they get it wrong, I want to have it stay in this spot, looping or taking in a prompt. But I want it to stay there until they get it right.
So like a play again thing.
Yeah, I guess. Okay. So I'm going to clear the ink layer and I'm going to say edit, select all, edit, copy, and edit.
Is that the one you edited to show? Or is, I might not even be looking at the right one then.
Any one of them is okay. I put in the one where I've got the flag just because that was the last one I had up. But they all would be exactly the same thing. So I want to, if they got it right, it's fine, and I want to move on. Else, I want to stay here until they get it right. And if I want to keep asking them and prompting them, as he said, you need a prompt in there, because I keep needing to prompt them. Well, if I keep needing to prompt them, and I want to prompt them again and again and again, that means the prompt has to be inside a loop. And, okay, so I know a couple of things. I know what will get me out. I know I want a loop. Okay, I know I want to have a loop. I know what will get me out, which is if they get the right answer. And I know what will keep me in, and that is if they get the wrong answer. So I'm going to have a loop, and I want to stay in with the wrong answer, and I want to get out with the right answer. Well, a do while, a while, which is what I said I was going to use, was a while. A while says what keeps me in. A while is while this is true. Stay in. Keep doing it while this is true. And so since I want to have a while, I want to use the thing that keeps me in.
So while the answer is...
I put it in the else, because at the point I'm in the else, I know they got it wrong.
So is it like the do while is embedded in the else? Is that what you're trying to say?
Yes, the while. I did it as a while.
Oh, okay. That was a do while.
Either one would work, but I did it as a while. So the while is going to keep me in the loop. As long as I keep getting a wrong answer. Now, I obviously, inside the loop, I need to have a prompt because I need to ask them to try again. I mean, how else are they going to try again except by feeding a prompt? So I've got to have a prompt to ask them to try again. And I probably want to give them some feedback. Okay? I want to give them some feedback as to whether they got it right or wrong. Or that's marginal, whether I want to give them the feedback or not. Maybe they'll know if they just have to sit there spinning, they'll figure it out sooner or later that they got to put in the right answer.
I guess they're smarter.
Right. So again, take a few minutes and try to write this. You can't go wrong, just experiment. Take my code, copy my code, and try putting a while loop in there. And the while loop is going to be what is the wrong answer. And we know what the wrong answer is the answer is not equal to the user input.
Firefox not respond. That's what I
Congratulations. What did I do? Did I lose it? No, I've got it.
I thought you couldn't do anything wrong.
until right math. Okay.
I put while, then I don't know those things. I put true, and then that's pretty much it.
But what does true mean?
I made it a variable called again.
Okay. It sent like, wow. It's on an infinite loop right now. No, the answer is two.
Because it doesn't have a clue what true means. That's when you hit the X up in the corner.
That's what I just did.
Okay. So. Yeah, you could hit another variable. You don't need to.
Yeah, I just made a new one called again.
Is it working?
No.
Then don't bother to tell me what you did.
I put it in the else. I put, you know, do while. And then we'll do this while answer.
Right. But you're checking an again. You're checking answer, so you don't want again. You want to have answer.
Well, I put it under the else. You know,
yeah,
the
but you still want answer because you're still asking when answer is not
this
equal to doing it. You don't change answer, it's going to never be equal. In other words, you don't want another variable because it's answer that you're comparing to get out of the loop. So if you never change answer, answer will continue to not be equal.
Oh, I see. So just change the again.
I mean, to user input. I'm saying the wrong thing. If you never change user input, I'm sorry, I said change answer. You never change user input. So you want user input. You want it to go into user input. I'm sorry. I just was completely saying the wrong thing. Sorry, people at home. You want to change user input. Okay, because eventually you want answer to be equal to user input. And I don't believe I said answer, because obviously answer is the answer, and you don't want to change that. User input is the thing you want to change, because the user got it wrong.
So,
and now you're giving them a chance to get it right.
So elsewhile user input is wrong. That prompts them...
Right, and while, but what's the wrong? The wrong is written by...
That's what I'm
answer is not equal to user input.
Well, answer is not equal to user input.
Okay, because if answer becomes equal to user input, then you're going to get out of there. Okay?
I don't know how to write that.
Does anybody feel they're on the right track?
Mine keeps on breaking. Every time I add code, it just stops. The initial prompt doesn't show up. But all I do is add code.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, I'm getting the white screen.
Okay, tell me when it's time for me to give you the answer.
Takes time.
Huh?
Takes time.
Right after that.
Okay.
And before you get out of the else, you put it in right
that's where it's kind of breaking.
Mainly because I wanted them to know they got it wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to know if I'm at all on the right track with that, but maybe it's
that is.
I just...
That is on the right track, but the thing that you want to have inside there, the key thing that you want to have inside there is the prompt. You
got it.
You got it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. The key thing you want inside there is the prompt. Because you need to give them enough chance. So the key thing you got to have inside the loop is the prompt. Okay, so I've got a few that have it and a few that have said share. Open file... And I think I called it Math Fix or something like that. Math Facts Fix. Okay. So, what is your answer? 2. What is your answer? 3. What is your answer? 7. And it says, no, the answer's wrong. Try again. Okay. So, I put in a 7. It told me the answer's wrong. Try again. So I'm going to put in a 6, and it keeps coming up. Now, I chose not to keep telling them no, 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 no. So I just chose to sit here and spin, and so I'm spinning along. I'm going to put in a 5 now, and I'm still spinning. Now I'm going to put in a 4, and they say, you got it. And now I moved on to the next problem. And if I put in an 8 for the next problem, it says no. And when I get it right, it says yes, and it moves on to the next problem. Okay, and that was my goal. So now I'm going to cancel. I guess I wrote this in the one where I can't cancel out. So we're stuck.
For a very long time, if you don't get the answers right.
Yeah, right. So, I put this in the one where I didn't cancel out. If you put it in the one that had the break, then I could have canceled out of it. So what I said was, document right, no, the answer's wrong, try again. Okay? And then I put up, and then I have the loop. And my loop is saying, while answer is not equal to user input, put out the prompt. It puts out the prompt, it checks. Puts out the prompt, checks. Puts out the prompt, checks. So it just keeps spinning back and looking to see if answer is still not equal to user input. When answer is finally equal to user input, it drops out, and I wrote a document right, you got it.
Fricks the user input. The null process, when you hit cancel, says hit the one on, the one with cancel.
Yeah.
And since you're changing user input below the if user input is not equal to null, I think it's breaking, because when I hit the cancel button, it just keeps on moving.
Okay, let me take and put this in that one. Rather than retype it, I'm going to copy and paste. And I had... Apparently, I don't have it. So, which one did you do?
Let's do the one all the way at the bottom.
The one that has null?
Yep.
Okay. Why did I just do that? Cancel. Okay, I want the code. Edit. Select all.
You should probably paste the other thing somewhere.
I'll go back and get it.
now I can go back. Hopefully I have it open. Maybe I don't have it open. I will have to open it. Okay, so file, open, and it's math fix. Oh, yeah. Oh, well. 2, 3, I should have listened to you. 3, 4, 5, 4, 5, 6. Ah, yes.
You're lucky you didn't put like a 10 there for.
There's a reason why I only had a few there. I may be dumb, but I'm not that dumb. Okay, so. Copy. And now I'm over in. Is this the right one? Yes. And I'm going to put it inside right there, right?
Yep.
File, save as, math fix 2.
So is this math for 285?
No, I think it's just one math.
So it's math basic?
Math 25, I think.
It's a little above that.
See, I just did it like year on. Try again.
Math fix 2, right?
I didn't loop back to that.
Okay, so your answer is 2. Now I'm putting in a 6. No, the answer's wrong. Try again. 3. I got it. 8, try again. 7, try again.
Try to hit the cancel button.
Okay. Because I'm inside. I can't get out until I finish this problem. Because the way I have it set, I'm inside. Now I can hit cancel, and I'm out. But since I stayed inside that loop, I didn't understand that that's what you were saying.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Because of the way I chose to do it and I'm inside the loop, I only get the chance to do the cancel on the other one. Now, I could have put in there if user input is not equal to null, and I could have, you know, added that in there again. But I don't want them to get out that easily anyway. They got to get the answer right before I'm letting them out. But if you wanted to, you could put in the if user input equals null in there. So you could do while the answer's wrong or user input equals null.
Yeah, because I guess that was the problem. I was in the middle of one too.
Could you pronounce that one for me, please? Thank you.
Anybody else want it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 6. It's an act of Congress to rent these things out. We all know how acts of Congress work. Okay, so that takes care of that. I print them for everybody, so yeah.
Okay.
And I printed one for me too. It was easier than counting. Okay. There's a bunch of other little things about functions that you can go back and look at, and we will go back and look at but I wanted to get into a little bit of looking at arrays and checkboxes and radio buttons and that sort of thing. The radio button is the one that I did wrong in here. If you look at that, and we'll go in and we'll look at how to fix it. But I did that one, and as I said, it used to work. And then it stopped working. So, we're going to first look at arrays. So I'm saying enter the department number, and I am coming up with what it's got. Okay, now what an array is it is a way to store information. And I guess it doesn't matter that you can't see my whole message. So we're not worry about that. Okay, what an array is it's a collection of information, and it saves you from writing a lot of if statements. Basically, that's one of its big pluses, is it saves you from writing a lot of if statements. The other thing that it does is it kind of collects the information together and gives you a collection of information. So I started out here and I said, I'm going to call the array department array. And I'm going to say the department array is equal to a new instance of an array. So that means I'm making a instance of an array, or I'm setting up an array for use here. The four that I put in parentheses is the maximum index or subscript that I'm going to be able to use. So I started out and I said, okay, I'm going to give you the name of each department. And this would be a lot more valuable if I'd actually written out all the words, because then you would see that it's really buys you something. So I'm going to say here, department array, and I've got it five different times. Now, you know enough about programming so far to know that you can't have the same variable, two variables with the same name. So when I give two variables the same name, what I have to do is put in a pointer or a subscript or an index to make them unique. So a department array modified by 0 is different than department array modified by 1, which is different than department array modified by 2, so the computer can figure out which one I'm talking about. If I just said, do something with department array, it's going to say which one. So this number that goes in here is an index or a subscript or a pointer. The more technical term is index. The least technical term is pointer. Yeah.
So yours says department array equals new array and 4. So if you put like department array and then you put index of 5, it wouldn't work, right?
Right. Well, it might let you get away with it at this point, but when you went to use it, it wouldn't have anything. Because you don't have anything modified by 5.
So that indicates the max number of
that's right.
Index. Right.
Yeah. And there is a zeroth index. Back a long time ago, they used to let programmers decide whether there was a zeroth element or a one element. And they kind of stopped having people do that. And they all start with 0 now. I think Visual Basic was really one of the last to go. Actually, thinking of COBOL, which we talked about earlier, that's probably still starting with 1. So, essentially, I don't really want the one that's modified by 0, so I want to consider that illegitimate, so I wrote no department 0, because usually a company doesn't have a department 0.
Looks like the NSA.
Maybe they do. So, I could also have left that off and just not defined department 0. but I actually wanted them to have a response if they put in a zero, so I put it in there, but I could have left it out. So I said, all right, department zero is no department zero. Department array modified by one is BU. Department array with an index of two is CI. Department array with a subscript of three is CU. Department array with a pointer of four is OF. So basically, as you can see, I can use that word, any of those words. So then I put in a number, and I put in a 2. So when, since I put in a 2, you can see it says the department is CI, because department array modified by 2 is CI. Okay, so down here is where I did it. I said prompt, enter it, and I put it in as department number. And I probably would have been nice to put there on there, but I didn't, and as I have mentioned before, this is one of the things that JavaScript is happy to fix for you and make it a var. So I said, please enter the department number, and it enters a department number. And then I said, okay, if department number is less than 5, do a department write that says the department is, and then I say, department array modified. So I enter a 2, and it gave me the 2. If I enter something invalid, it will give me the invalid. Now, let me run this again. Okay, so if I run this again, notice the default that comes up there is a 2, because I decided that most people that take courses from me are CI majors. So I made it an 2.
Oh, that's the comma 2?
That's the comma 2.
Okay.
So this is right here. Remember what I've been doing in the past is putting a 0 there, so the 0 showed up. Well, I decided to put a 2 there, because 2 is kind of the one that's going to happen the most often. And so I made it the default. And then I said, okay, if department number is less than 5, because 5 won't work right, then document write the department is, and then I'm saying go to the array and take the number that I typed in, which is 2. And it magically filled that in for me. Wasn't that nice? For once, I actually wanted it. So I get the 2. Okay. And if I go back and run this again, and I put in a 3, then I see CU. Because 3 is a CU. Now, if I didn't put this check in it, then it would give me a problem. So control, let's see, edit, select all, edit, copy, edit, paste. And if I take all of that stuff out, and just simply say this, and this would be an array problem. Okay, so now if I go and run array problem, file, open file, and I'm running something called array problem. And if I put in the 2 and say okay, I get CU. But if I run this again and I put in a 7, it says the department is undefined. Okay, so it gives me, when I entered a 7, it gave me that the department was undefined.
Now, JavaScript is a lot better than a lot of languages, because a lot of languages, if you put the wrong number in, it just crashes. Okay, it just completely and totally crashes. This one substitutes in the word undefined when I put in the wrong thing. And personally, I like that a lot better than crashing. Okay, so I get undefined when I put in the wrong thing. So I put in a 7 here, and I get that department is undefined. Okay? Questions? So what an array gets me, again, is if I didn't have an array and I wanted to know what department it was, I'd have to say if department equals 1, else if department equals 2, else if department equals 3, and if I was testing 70 departments, I got a lot of if statements to write there. Now, I also have a lot of arrays to write, but I can also save those and use them in other programs. And in fact, we will talk about how I can have external JavaScript brought in. And actually, this would be a good one. I'll try to do that. But I've got some other things I want to do now. But I can save it as a module and just bring it in. Okay, so this is an introduction to arrays. And if I go on and I look at the next one, okay. In this one, I put it into a function. Okay, so I have a function that has the array in it, and I have done this whole thing and just said, go do the department array function. And I just put that stuff inside a function, and it does the function. And again, the function can be defined in the head, or it can be defined in the body. Here I defined it in the head. And so when I go up and executing it, it's really executing what's in the head, but because it's a function, it works. The other thing I want to look at very briefly is checkboxes and radio buttons, and then we'll come back and look at these. In a checkbox, I have said check, and I've told it, okay, now I'm telling it I've got two. I've checked two things. And I want to just point out how to do these. And we will look at these again. But again, I'm trying to kind of give you an overview on this, and then we're going to pick up the pieces the week after I come, 2 weeks from now. So I'm starting out, and I'm saying I have a checkbox. Type is checkbox. And the name is CIS120, CIS122, and CIS159, which is the PHP course we've been talking about. So, what I'm saying there is, basically, I want to count how many of them are checked. And the way I check is I say, if course info modified by CS120 is checked equals true, then add one. If 122 is checked, add another one. If 159 is checked, add another one. So notice I started it out with zero. So before I went in, I started it with zero so that it didn't have anything left over, basically. So I started it out with zero, and I said, if the checked equals true, then add one. Just count. Now, notice that I did not put document. It's kind of interesting. I just said course info. Because what I did over down here is I passed up course info. So if I pass up, this is the name of the form. And when I pass up the name of the form, then it says, oh, you want all the information on that form. And so I am sending it the entire form, and it is receiving the entire form, which means that as long as I say courseinfo.cis120.checked, as long as I start with courseinfo, it can find things just right, and I don't have to write the document. So I'm sending up the form, and I am saying, okay, now when I want to refer to something, refer to it by the form name, and then tell me specifically what in the form you're talking about, which is CIS 120. And that was the one last thing I wanted to get into. And this would be true in the other things we've done, that at places you can pass a form instead of passing individual fields. You can say, I want to pass the form. And that's kind of a neat thing to be able to do. Okay. I think that kind of wraps up what I wanted to look at. Okay. So, next week is going to be an online week. I'm going to put up some stuff that I want you to look at, having to do with what we've been talking about. So I'm going to put up a smart board thing that kind of goes into stuff I want you to look at for next week. And then when we come back, we'll wrap up that stuff. And then the only two more things to look at. One of them is DOM, which is a new invention in JavaScript. Well, it's not that new, but it's another way of working with JavaScript. And so we're going to look at DOM. And then the last class, we're just going to talk about a lot of handouts that I'm going to ask you to read about how to make people find your website and how to get your website popular, you know, being used and that sort of thing. So we're going to talk about it. I'm going to send you to a bunch of articles on that. Your final, which that leads me to your final is a, like all finals I give, a take-home finals. You'll get it a week ahead of time, and it's a take-home final. Obviously, nobody can help you with the final. It's an individual project. So you work on the final, and a lot of those, one of the questions I will definitely ask on the final, guaranteed, is how are you going to attract people to your website and force you to basically do some reading about how to attract people to your website, you know, how to get people to come to your website. And I'm telling you now that that's going to be one of the questions on the final. And as I said, I'll give you some pages to read about it probably during the last week. Huh? You can what?
He said put some rainbows or something on it.
So, anyway, what we've got left to do is some cleanup here. I'll put up a bunch of stuff that I want you to look at next week. But essentially, next week is an online class. And then the following week, we'll finish up the looking at JavaScript things that I want to look at, and we'll move on to DOM, and then we'll finish up DOM, and then we'll talk about how to make your website and all that sort of stuff. Okay? So, we are done.
Did you ever touch on, like, ad placement in this class?
Mm-hmm. No. Usually you do that stuff through a third party anyways, because they have their own program that they check ads for if you're going to do it for money.
Yeah.
It's still a third party.
Yeah.
I've seen, like, Google ads.
So, it's pretty much a project of your own design.
Like, especially for me.
So if you decide you'd like to learn how to do apps...
that would.